So praise the Lord. It's good to be with you this morning for another installment of Deliverance Temple Ministry Transformation Hour. And this is a time during which we come to seek the Lord via the Word of God. We come to find out what He's saying to His people. We come to find out how to continue to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And some of us, myself, top of the list, we need lots of transformation of our minds, because we had all kinds of stinking thinking, as Zig Ziglar used to say, that needs to be gotten rid of and replaced by the Word of God, by the thinking. That Holy Spirit would have us think. Good morning, Sister Carrie. Good to see you. Carrie McGrew, I love you. Good to see you, ma'am. Sister Linda Hale is here with us as well. I tell you what, the saints come marching in on Facebook Live, that's for sure. So this morning, we are in the final installment of our series that we've been doing here in November, called The Work of Harvest. The Work of Harvest. And as I noted in the very first week of this study, you know, work is one of those words you don't hear me saying a whole lot, certainly in the context of church and of Christianity and that kind of thing, as we are big believers and big proclaimers of the grace of God. But I want you to understand that the grace of God does not exclude you from doing work. The grace of God informs and empowers the work you do. I'm going to say that again because that was good to me. The grace of God does not exclude you from work. It doesn't get rid of work in your life. But it informs and empowers the work that you do. Now you're able to do work that is inspired by God. You're able to do work that is informed by God. You're able to do work that is empowered by God. And so that tends towards a greater success in this kingdom work in which we're involved. And so harvest, as we've been talking about it this month, does involve work. It does involve work. Whether you're talking about, and I know we're using a agricultural kind of motif this month, and so that doesn't necessarily, thank you for scribing, Minister Tucker, it doesn't necessarily resound with everybody. I grew up on a farm, so I know about farming. I know about planting and harvesting. I know about preparing the soil and that kind of thing. And so there are stages and steps to this thing that are involved. And even if you've just had a little windowsill garden on your apartment, or maybe you just saw something, you know, some flowers growing in the park or what have you, understand that there's a process to this and that there's work involved. That's my number one premise that I want you to understand. There's a process, and there's work involved in harvest. It doesn't just happen, right? And so likewise, when we're talking about the ways of the kingdom of God, when we're talking about spiritual matters, when we're talking about finances, when we're talking about relationships, when we're talking about everything that has to do with our lives as human beings and as believers in Jesus Christ, there is work involved. But praise God, thank God, that work for the believer, for the new covenant believer, is informed and empowered by grace and by Holy Spirit Himself in us. And so we don't have to get scared of work. It's a four-letter word, but not one we have to run away from or shy away from. We can embrace the work because we know, as we're told in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 2, he says, it's God in you who is at work both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And that word for Good pleasure, as the King James renders it, is the Greek word eudokia. It could also be translated as kind intention. And so God has kind intentions toward us. His work in us is to bring about his kind intention for us. That bears repeating. I said his work in us is to bring about his kind intention for us. We can jump all the way back to Jeremiah chapter 29 in the Old Testament, where God declares that he knows the plans he has towards his people. They're plans for our well-being, to give us a future and a hope. They're not plans for our devastation. He's not trying to take us out. He's not trying to hurt us. He is working in us and through us for our own best good, our highest good. And when we understand that and believe that and embrace that truth, then we stop fighting so much against what he is at work in us to do. Because sometimes, you know, we have been ill-informed by the world, by the media, by the folks at work, you know, that water cooler conversation. And we have somehow got the idea, errantly, I may add, that we have a better idea than God about how to organize and run our lives. Can I say that I categorically deny that as being true? We don't have a better idea. You don't get a better idea than the manufacturer of what a thing is designed for, how it's to be used. And God is our designer. In fact, the beauty, one of the many beauties, is that as our designer, he designed us in his own image and likeness. We are the most privileged of all of God's creation. And he knows best how to run our lives, how to organize our lives, how to carry them out. And he empowers us to do that as well. So it's a beautiful thing. And so, as I say, we don't have to be afraid of work. And so even the work of harvest that involves preparing the soil, acquiring the seed, placing the seed in the soil, watering and cultivating, and finally harvesting, reaping, which some of us sometimes seem to forget to do. You know, we're great at sowing, perhaps because we're told over and over in church circles, sow. Not against sowing. I'm all about sowing. That's great. In fact, I'm working on being what my friend Pastor LeJure Glasper calls an aggressive giver. He says, I'm an aggressive giver. And he is. I've been around him enough to know. I've seen him do it. Just boom, 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 boom. I was at a conference recently with him, and he was up speaking and begun to perspire a bit. And one of the other ministers grabbed a towel that he had there and took it to him. And he thanked him. And as the minister turned to walk away, he said, come get this $100. And he gave it to him and went right on preaching. Now, this wasn't for show. It's just how he lives. He's an aggressive giver. And he tries very hard not to miss an opportunity to give. He's the kind of guy that'll go in and get a sandwich somewhere and spend $200 before he comes out because he's like, pay for all these people in the line too. Why does he do that? Well, he's found that as he continues to plant seed, he continues to harvest. If you're always planting, you're going to have a continual harvest. How about that one? So that may answer a question for somebody. If you've planted 6 years ago and that's the last time you planted any seed, maybe that's why you've been in drought for a while. You got to plant continuously. And you don't necessarily plant, given the season or what time of year it is. Here's some more farm stuff for you guys. You don't necessarily plant the same things, you know, in November. There are some things you can plant in November. There are other things you want to plant in June. But if you're continually planting what it's time to plant, what the season demands and is ready for, you're going to continually have a harvest of some type coming in. And I hope that we want to be those kinds of people who have a harvest coming in. We have a harvest of good relationships. We have a harvest of finances. We have a harvest of good health. We have a harvest of opportunities coming our way, because we are allowing Holy Spirit to move in us to make the most of every opportunity, both to sow and to reap, to harvest, right? So we spent quite a bit of time, and if you missed some of this, please go back. If you're watching by Facebook, go back and just search for Mark Dixon. You can see my post pretty quickly that way. And you can catch all 4 weeks of this, including today, would be 4 weeks of this particular series on the work of harvest. You can also hear the audios on our website, our church website, deliverancetemple.org. In fact, you can hear the live services that we recorded there. You can hear services all the way back to, you know, the earlier part of this year. Dozens and dozens and dozens of them. Several sermon series, several Transformation Hour series. You can get your knowledge on real good there, okay? Yep, I know that isn't proper English, but real good. Yeah, there we go. Deacon Fred co-signed for me. I'm okay with that. So, the work of harvest includes reaping and harvesting. We talked last week at some length about a lot of the reasons. We didn't do an exhaustive list, but we did quite a few of why people may not harvest, why you may be missing your harvest, why you don't see a harvest in your life. So moving on past that this week, I want to talk for the time that we have remaining about managing the harvest. This is one of the largest areas, believe it or not, this is one of the largest trouble areas for believers. We're great at sowing sometimes. We might even be able to reap. But we run into big trouble oftentimes when it comes to the management of the harvest. I'm reminded, this is not in my notes, but I'm going to go here for a second. I'm reminded of the Old Testament story of Gideon. You'll find this over in around the sixth chapter or so of Judges in the Old Testament. The story of Gideon and how that Gideon, along with his countrymen, were being assailed on regular intervals by the Midianites. They would get their ground ready. They would plant seed. They would grow the crop. They would harvest the crop. And then the Midianites would come and take it. You're like, man, what? Yeah, year after year, this cycle repeated itself, so that when we see the story of Gideon, Gideon is threshing wheat, and he's not doing it up on top of a hill where it should be done, in the open where the breeze can blow the chaff out as you're threshing the wheat, but he's doing it in a wine vat. He's down hidden, trying to make sure that he can hold on to his harvest this time and that the Midianites won't get it, because he is in such fear of the enemy. Oh, I know that ain't nobody here, but sometimes we're in such fear of the enemy, he's just seemed to been allowed to come in and wreak havoc in our life repeatedly in some cases. And so rather than, you know, really appealing to God about it, we do what humans often do when they're in trouble, they hide. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Let me make it real plain then. Y'all glad these days for caller ID?
Yeah.
Bank of America, oh heck no, I'm not answering that. Dillard's, ooh, what they want. Oh, I know what they want. City Utilities of Springfield, ooh, sure glad for caller ID. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
You keep hiding. You be hiding in the dark, all right?
Yeah.
So Gideon was hiding because once again, he on the lookout for those who would come and confiscate his harvest. I know for some of you, sometimes seems like if you've even gotten to the point of gaining a harvest or reaping a harvest, that it wasn't long before it was gone. And you wondered about that. You cried about it and you moaned about it and you complained about it, most likely. And you said crazy stuff, you know, because listen, what, this is for free. This part I'm getting ready to give you is free. This is like not exactly part of the lesson today, but it's good stuff. So please listen. You got to be like Job and not sin with your mouth. Don't murder your miracle with your mouth. I got the blessing, but I said, well, I probably won't be able to keep it, though. It probably won't last long. And we're squeezing it so tight, man, that George Washington said, I can't breathe. Because we're scared it's going to all blow away. We have a good day of health, and instead of thanking God and praising him for it, we're like, I wonder how long this is going to last. Well, my head is not hurting, but probably my knee's probably about to hurt. They said it's going to rain this week, and you know what? My shoulder, my knee, my back, I just might as well get ready for that. Listen, I'm not trying to say you don't have issues or pains or challenges, but you know, you don't need to always add your your vocal to that situation. Now that's just for free. Good morning, Deacon Barry. That's just for free, y'all. So, you know, when the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, hey, you mighty man of valor, because he's speaking what God is seeing. He's speaking the destiny, my God. Hold on, Mark. I'm trying not to get off here because this ain't nowhere near my message. But we... We get to talking and downplaying even when God is doing the thing. We get to focusing on all the times it hasn't worked out, all the times it didn't work, all the times things didn't come through for us, all the time. And we begin to use our own faculties. We begin to use our own abilities that God has put in us against ourselves. We work against our own design. Probably ain't gonna work this time. Ain't gonna last long. And we start prophesying to ourselves. So as Gideon was being addressed by the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord saying what God had put in his mouth to say and forecasting the vision that God had given, had seen here, that he's a mighty man of valor. That's what God says about you. Listen, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. But you got holes in your shoes, so? Circumstantial evidence. Do you know you can go into court with a real big case of circumstantial evidence and the judge say, I can't use none of this. That don't prove nothing. See, can I tell you that your circumstances will lie to you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they will. Somebody trying to text me. I can't have that right now. Your circumstances will lie to you. They will lie to you. They will tell you, well, look, you ain't got this. You ain't got that. You ain't got the other. It didn't work out last time. Now, all of that may be factual, but it doesn't matter. What does God say? What's God's view on the matter? What has he put in you? What seed has he placed in you? Because can I tell you, God expects a harvest on what he's planted. He's planted great things in you, and he expects a harvest. But listen, it's going to take your cooperation. It's going to take your cooperation. You can have a seed or a whole jar full of seed, set them up on the shelf, and guess what? Come back 10 years later, it's still that same jar of seed. All the potential, unreleased. So Gideon had all this potential. He didn't even realize God had planted a seed in him. A seed of deliverance, not only for himself, but for the whole nation. Come on now, Minister Rogers, co-signing for me. He had planted a seed of deliverance. In fact, he was to be a deliverer. He was on his way to becoming. Yeah, I said it. But he didn't know it. He had to have it revealed to him. Had to have it proven to him. Some of us, man, we're a little thick. And we have to have it proven to us that God meant what he said about us. That he actually does love us. That we're the apple of his eye. That he has endued us with power. That greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. That we are above only and not beneath. The head and not the tail. We can't quite get our mind wrapped around that. Sometimes you just got to agree with God even if you don't understand it. If you don't see it yet, just agree with him anyway. Take it on my good word and authority here. It's the best way to go. And so I bring up Brother Gideon simply to say that sometimes you allow the enemy to steal your harvest from you after you worked hard for it, come in and steal. But that's not God's intention for you. That's not God's best for you. And so that ends now. Somebody say, that ends now. Not one more day am I letting him steal my harvest. Not one more day letting him steal my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why would I let the devil have it? I'm going to hold on to it, right? And I'm going to manage it. That's what we're talking about today. I just got a little while, but I'm going to work this thing in a minute. So I want us to look at some scriptures here. First of all, let's look at Mark chapter 4. Boy, I don't know what's up with that. It says I don't have internet. Let me check, because I know I do, because I'm talking to these folks out here. So I got to have it. There we go. Okay, put in the password. As if I remember, here we go. Let's see if I can spell that right. It takes proper spelling. Is that it? We'll know in a moment. Connection error. Okay, we're going to get this anyway. Mark chapter 4, as I once again try to get this lined out. Two L's. Okay, there we go. This should work. Jesus tells another story of what the kingdom of God is about. Here we go. That's what I'm talking about. More than one way to do this, y'all. You just got to be patient. Don't quit the first time. There's a lesson for somebody right there, too. All right? So this verse 26, we read a little bit of this earlier, but I want to hit it again before I jump off to at least two more scriptures to kind of seal some things up. Verse 26, chapter 4 of Mark, then he said, that's Jesus talking, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Now, here's what I want to get to today, verse 29. Now, he's done all this work. He's got the soil ready. He's put the seed in the ground. He's waited patiently. Y'all know it's seed, time, and harvest. There's some time involved in this thing, okay? And with all of that, the plants grow to maturity. Fine and good. We're great so far, right? But without verse 29, all is lost. Verse 29, Jesus says, as soon as the grain is ripe. He puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. See, it wouldn't have done any good to get the ground ready. It wouldn't have done any good to plant the seed. It wouldn't have done any good to wait patiently day and night. It wouldn't have done any good to walk by watching it grow tall and beautiful. Wouldn't have done any good if he had not done the work of harvest at the end of the process. Somebody say that at the end of the process. See, there is an end to the process. It's not just on and on and on and on and on and on and on. There's an end to the thing. Sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we get a little depressed. We get a little despondent. It didn't happen fast enough. It didn't happen in quite the way we thought it would. We're worried about the Midianites coming up over the hill and all that business. But keep your eye on the prize. As soon as the grain had matured, as soon as it was ripe, he says, he put in the sickle. He didn't forget to reap the harvest. But as I say, after... One more thing. And that is the management of the harvest. Now, let me make this real plain with a few quick examples. Some of you will understand this better than others. If you've been in perfect health all your little life, you may not be able to relate. But if you've been like me through some health challenges, some of which are, you know, no doubt linked to heredity, but perhaps exacerbated by my life choices. What did he just say? I said, I ain't acting right, so I'm sick. Yeah. You go to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, Mr. Dixon, you got type 2 diabetes. Your pancreas is not producing insulin quite correctly, and you need to kind of monitor what you eat because... you know, your body has become, resistant to carbohydrates. What you mean resistant? I always like carbohydrates. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Now your body's talking back to you and saying, that's too much of that. I can't handle all of that. And, you say, oh, okay. So I'm going to take this medicine, I'm going to do whatever, I'm going to lose some weight, I'm going to exercise, what have you. And man, you get to a point and the doc says, hey man, you don't even need this no more, you're good. And that does happen sometimes, right? But then you say, hey, all right. I've been missing Snickers, bonbons, Doritos, bring it on. Stopping by the Village Inn and get me two pies. Because I couldn't decide between, the cherry and the apple, so I got both of them. And I'm going to eat them today when I get home. Now, after a while, you laid out somewhere. Wondering what happened. You ain't got to wonder too hard. You done gained 30 pounds. And your head swimming and your vision getting blurry. Huh. Wonder what happened here. You did not manage the harvest of good health that you had reaped. Begin to eat the right things, begin to exercise, begin to do what you needed to do, and a harvest came in the form of better health. But you didn't manage the harvest. Am I talking just to myself? Is this plain? Do you understand? Y'all give me some hearts and love out there if y'all understand it. Did you understand that I didn't manage it? And so I have problems. Somebody say Starbucks, uh-huh. Give me the venti with, you know, extra this, that, and the other up in there, uh-huh. Double latte, frappuccino, whatever. With the whipped cream on top. Bring it. You didn't. Sister Looney trying to rush us all the way to Women's Day here. Sister Shannon going to be talking to us about getting a grip after a while. So y'all come on out. But so you didn't manage the harvest. Let me use just another little quick example. Maybe the weight thing and the health thing. You're like, I'm great. I'm good on that. You ain't touching me. I can't hear nothing you saying, Mark. All right. Let's talk about money. Y'all all know about money, right? Pastor Carol says, I understand. You ain't got to beat me across the head with this. I get it. Extra whipped cream, Dr. Elisa. That's right. Good morning, Sister Libby. So, likewise with our finances. Man, we cry out to the Lord. Lord, help. Lord, help. Lord, help. Oh, God. Woe is me. I can't make ends meet. I can't find the ends to make them meet. I don't know where the ends went, Lord. Oh, God. And, you know, the man of God said, you need to sow a seed today. I just believe the Lord telling you to sow a seed for opportunity. Sow a seed and name it opportunity. We talked about naming your seed. I'm going to name this opportunity. I'm going to sow this seed. Even though I can't really afford it. Okay, whatever. I'm going to sow this seed. Lord, I'm sacrificially giving. Uh-huh. All right. I'm not messing with you. And lo and behold, your phone rang. Somebody said, I got your name from a friend of a friend of a friend who said you're real good at X, Y, and Z. He said, yeah, I can do all that. Well, I said, could you come on by here and talk to me? Yeah, I guess so. I'm not working right now anyway, so I got time. And he said, well, I don't know what you're used to making, but this is what we can offer you. And you try not to fall out your chair when you see that it's three times what you was making at your other job. You're like, I can make that work. I could do that. Whew, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Speaking in tongues under your breath and everything, man. You walk out, get to your bicycle, I mean your car outside, and you just shout a good one. You're on the job. Here comes that first paycheck. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's beautiful. Thank you. It's wonderful. There was a sign-up bonus also on there. Did I tell you that part? Yeah. So you, boy, you looking at these numbers and you're like, this is amazing. This is so wonderful. Man, I'm just in time to catch Black Friday at Dillard's and Macy's. I'm just in time to get my Best Buy and get that 96 inch, although my wall is only 75 inches. So I prop it up against there. And I'm not going won't say that it's God doing this, because sometimes, you know, we get into that kind of thing. I don't believe he's like up there with a baseball bat ready to get you. But I do believe he'll let you hang yourself. I do believe that. Seen it too many times. Done it. Been there. And the same attitude that you're treating this harvest with is the same attitude that eventually gets you fired. And now here you are again. You acquired 7 new credit cards while you was on the job because you're like, this ain't no problem to pay these. Except that now you don't have a job. I'm just letting you know, that's a pregnant pause right there on purpose. I'm just letting you think about that one. Just examples. I'm not saying this is your life. I'm saying this is the way human beings and church folk. Did y'all know church folks are human beings? Sometimes we think, you know, we get saved, we are just totally supernatural now, and we... You know how I know church folks as human beings still? Because they still do human stupid stuff. Oh yeah, they do. Get themselves in all kinds of jams. All kinds of fixes. I'm not trying to meddle, Regina Rogers. I'm not trying to meddle. I'm just saying. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about, Dr. Tate used to say. That's all. And so, God does not want you in that kind of a fix. This is why he has established principles. I said from the first week, one of the first things you need to understand about harvest is that it is a perpetual principle of God, seed time and harvest. Established way back in Genesis, he says, as long as earth remains, this is going to be how it is. But you need to understand that there is a principle. You need to accept the principle. You need to work in accordance with the principle. God has given us principles for our benefit, for our blessing, and for his glory. You obey and live according to the principle, it blesses you, it glorifies God. Does that make sense? Yes, yes. Likewise, you can choose not to align with the principle that God has established. And we will find you in a fix. And sometimes after you have obeyed up to a point, you say, oh, I got it now. You like the Galatians. I got it from here, Jesus. I'm good now. Yeah. I started in the spirit, but I can finish in the flesh. I'm a pretty smart fella and I got a computer. No. Foolish. Who's bewitched you? You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and led astray. Yeah. So let me get on while I got time to one of my main scriptures I want to talk about today. And this is not necessarily, it is and it isn't harvest, but it's definitely management. It is and it isn't harvest, but it's definitely management. I can make arguments for the case that it is harvest, but I'm going to leave that alone right now while I address this management principle, okay? Yeah, let me just read because I don't want to get ahead of myself too much here. I want to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. You know this one, and if you don't, you soon will. Matthew, chapter 25. And we're going to drop all the way down to verse number 14. This is Matthew 25, verse 14. That's right. That's right, minister. Again, it will be like, he's talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven here, Jesus is. And he says, brighten up this screen just a little bit so I can see what I'm talking about. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Now, this is where you can make the argument for harvest here. Although these are managers. These are managers. 15. And this is New International Version, so your version may read a little different. Talk about the talents, talk about this, that, or the other. New International Version calls them bags of gold. So talents, money, bags of gold, fine. Keep it simple here. To one he gave 5 bags of gold. To another 2 bags of gold. To another 1 bag. Somebody said, get that bag. All right, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once. When?
At once.
Yeah, straightway. Pastor Marshall would say, straightway. Amen. Put his money to work and gained 5 more. That's 100% increase return on investment, ROI. That's good stuff right there. You ain't gonna get that on Wall Street. This guy knew something about how to make some money. He knew how to double it up, right? Some of you drug boys out there in the world, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, got to double it up, then we re-up. Then we, okay, anyway, I'm back now. I'm back. I just watch a lot of TV, that's all, y'all. Okay, so also, the one with 2 bags, he went and gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Okay. This is a story on management, y'all. This is a story on management. And there are some principles here I want you to get. This will help you, hopefully. If you learn the lessons that God has put before you, if you learn the principles that he's teaching you and apply them, learn them, apply them, it's going to be good for you. I ain't got time to get into this too deep, but I want you to understand that these servants were all familiar with the master. He didn't just bring them in off the street and hand them this money. Some scholars say that a talent in this case, the 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, that a talent was equal to 15 years of common wages. So the man with 5, if that is the case, using that calculation there, the guy with 5 had 75 years of wages in his hand. That's a lot of money, y'all. That's some serious bank. The other fella had 30 years worth of wages. And even this one fella, just this, he had 15 years of wages. It wasn't small change. It was not small change. I want you to get that. Our God is abundant, bountiful, generous. Now, again, he says, I need you to go and do business with this money. I'm going to be gone for a minute, handle business. How did they know what to do? Who did they learn it from? They learned it from him. They got to see him do what he do to have acquired all of this. He showed them, he taught them the principles by which they were to govern their affairs. And then he gave them charge over the money. He made them stewards. He made them managers over these accounts. Are you with me? He's made you a manager over your account. Ephesian account. In that account are health, money, relationships, opportunity. There's all kinds of stuff in your account. And he's made you a manager over it. Now, he didn't just put you out there and say, go for it, figure it out. He gave principles. These servants had had the opportunity to watch him. They had had the opportunity to learn from him. I hope you're getting this. Because this is where we go sideways sometimes. Verse 19, after a long time, how long? Long time. I want you to see real quickly that the master had given them ample time. He didn't say, I'm going to give you this money. It's Sunday, and by Wednesday, I want it back double. He didn't give unreasonable expectations. Man, I wish I had time. Unreasonable expectations. I'm not even going to deal with that. But some of you need to jet those unreasonable expectations. God's not asking you to swim the deepest ocean, climb the highest mountain, some crazy unreasonable expectation. He's giving you what you're able to do according to your ability and his principles. Let me say that one more time because that was good to me. According to your ability and his principles. I think I'm going to go for three. According to your ability and his principles. He set you up for success, not for failure. My God, today, somebody needs to hear that. Minister Regina, he set you up for success, not for failure. He didn't bring you out the boat so you could drown. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I told y'all he gave him 75 years worth of income. He called it a small thing. I told you God is abundant. You don't even think about these things the way you're thinking about them. I don't have time, but if I did, I would tell you that he's not worried about your $300 electric bill. Now, to you, that seems like Mount Everest. But he's like, that's a small thing. That's a small thing. Okay. All right. Come on in and share the master's happiness, he says. Verse 22, the man with the 2 bags of gold came. Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. The master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. 30 years worth of wages. It's just a small thing. I knew you could do it, son. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man. You did. You knew I was a hard man. All this time you spent with me and can I tell you real quick that part of somebody's problem, not yours, but your cousin and them, is that they don't even see God the way he is. Somebody told them he's this big guy in the sky with a long beard and a big stick ready to beat them down at every turn. They ain't never going to get it right. Ain't never going to be good enough. And he's going to let them know it every time. He's going to remind them, you don't measure up. I'm going to beat you down. Somehow or another, this guy watched too much TV or something, because that's not who the master was. He would not have entrusted him with, hey, here's 15 years of wages. Go, you know, go do something with this. I trust you. It's all good. I'll be back in a minute. 15 years away, it was a small change, y'all. I knew you was a hard man, though. Harvesting where you have not sown. Say what? What did you just say? Harvesting where you have not sown. But you watch me sow. You've been watching me sow. And it's only right that I harvest. And yes, I harvest, but not, I ain't harvesting where I'm up. Where are you getting this? Gathering where you had not scattered seed. When did you ever see me doing that? You've seen that I'm successful. Listen, can I tell you? Quit being jealous of rich folk. Let me just throw that out there real quick for somebody. He's just rich, just born with a silver spoon, and you don't even know his story. He reaping where he hadn't sown, and I'm here slaving away at this $10 an hour job every day, and he just, you don't know what he did, where he sown, what he sacrificed, sleepless nights he've had trying to make this thing work. Took him 25 years to become an overnight success. And now you, he just. He says, verse 25, get this. This is still this one talent talking. By the way, he gave to everyone according to their ability. It wasn't that the guy didn't have the ability to do it. It wasn't that he didn't have the ability. It wasn't that he hadn't seen it modeled. This guy's problems were not out here. His problems were in here. In his head. In his own mind. In his own mindset. In his own way of thinking. I'm almost done, y'all. So, I was afraid. Fear. Fear will jack up your harvest. Fear will jack up the management of your harvest. Fear will keep you from even trying to get to the harvest. Oh, that's too much for me. That's be too hard. That's what I can't. I probably would fail on it. And when then he'd be mad, they'd be laughing at me. And you done imagined all kinds of craziness that ain't even happened because you never got off the couch. I was afraid, so I went and hid your goal in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. Here it is. I got it all back. Here it is. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed, huh? All of which is a lie, but that's your story? Okay, fine. Fine. That's what you want to say. If you knew that was the case, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I'd at least receive the money back with some interest. You didn't even do that. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10. OMG. Oh, y'all go read this sometime and let the Lord speak to you. I can't get it all to you right now. For whoever has been given more, they will have an abundance. If you get this principle, if you follow the management style of God as Holy Spirit is directing you, he will prove that he's even more abundant, more generous than you thought. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Somebody said, if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. You not obeying the principles of God, things getting worse. You're losing on every hand and you keep doing what isn't working already, you do it more in hopes that somehow it will now start to work. Stop what you've been doing. Stop managing and mismanaging the way you've been doing it. Oh, my time is far spent this morning, y'all. But can I tell you this? Give me about 2 minutes and I'm done. Paul, in his epistles, talks quite a bit, whether you're talking in Corinthians or Ephesians or Colossians, 1 Timothy. There's a good bit of conversation that he has about what we call in the Greek the oikos, which is the household. And for the household then, which Paul considers basically the smallest unit of a nation, is a household. We even still today in America, you know, when you do the census, they use those terms, you know, how many in a household. They consider the household the smallest unit of the nation, right? And so, right along those same words then, and a similar word, I won't go into that, is the word that's translated as a manager or an administrator. He's over the household. And then we have, from that same word, the word oikonomia, from which we get our word economy, okay? Which is, again, about the management of that household, or in the larger sense, management of an organization, a community, a nation. We talk about the economy. We you know, on TV all the time, we're talking about the economy. We talk about the system of money, of goods and services for the whole nation. Now, scale that back down again to one person. God is making you the manager of the economy that is in you. Boy, I wish I had time. Some of us don't even realize you got a whole national economy in you. We'll leave that for somebody. But for most of us, not quite that big, but you are to manage. He's given you the principles to operate seed time and harvest. And he's given you also the principles of management. Holy Spirit's right there working in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. To manage the harvest. When you get this harvest that's about to come, and let me tell you, a harvest can be all kinds of things. Again, it can come in your relationships. It can come in your money. It can come in opportunities. Manage the economy. That's right. I knew you'd catch that, Minister Rogers. Manage the economy that's in you. Manage the economy that is you. Deacon Fred said, the economy.
Yeah.
I like that. Manage that. Listen, if you don't know what you're doing, get some help. We in the body of Christ. Somebody, everybody ain't broke. Everybody ain't doing bad. I'm just pausing to let that pride go away now, you know. Ask somebody who knows, you know. It's all right to ask for help. It's not a crime, y'all. Get some help. Get some help in the scripture. Get some help in whatever area it is you're needing some godly instruction in. To manage your relationships better, to manage the harvest of relationships, to manage the opportunity of relationships that are coming your way.
Yeah.
Some of us, God puts opportunity all around us, and we don't know how to manage it. Lord, please send me somebody. Lord, please, and here they are, and you don't manage them well. Lord, send me more money. Here come the money, and you don't manage it well. I'm going to leave you with this. You mismanage, and you're broke, and you're in trouble, and you're crying, and you're grief-stricken, and all of that. Let me help you out here with this, and I got to go. This sounds hard on the one hand. I can back it up with scripture. I think I just did in Matthew 25 there. But there are others. I'll say it this way. I'll even give you a little wiggle room. Okay? Here it is. You ready? God will not prosper you, certainly not on any consistent basis. Certainly not on any consistent basis. You might get some mercy here and there. Are you listening? If you don't heard anything else I say, get this. God will not consistently prosper you beyond your ability to manage. Man, I know that hurt. That hurts me. Jesus. Really? Yeah, you just read it. He will not consistently, that's my word I'm throwing in there to give you a little wiggle room, because you might get blessed down there and somebody might have mercy on you or what have you. But you'll soon prove that you don't have the ability to manage it. He gave the man with the one talent ability, he gave him a full talent. That's 15 years worth of wages. That's a chunk of change, y'all. But he soon proved that he was unable to manage it, didn't he? Yeah. He will not consistently bless you. And listen, what happened to the guy who did that? He gave the five talents and he ended up getting five more. What happens at the end of the story? He gets an additional talent. He's continuing to bless him because he's proven his management ability and his commitment to follow the principles that he's been taught. You wonder why you hit and miss, mostly miss. Work on your management. Look in the scripture. Ask somebody who know how to better manage your finances, how to better manage your relationships, how to better manage your opportunities, how to better manage your health. Don't be a doggone hardhead about it. Don't be prideful. Get the help you need, because I'm telling you, in this season of harvest, and right now, between now and the end of the year, I'm telling you, God keeps saying to me, distribution. I'm pouring out a distribution. But I don't want to get to January 3rd and you ain't got it, because you done mismanagement already by that time. You're out of the opportunity of the blessing that he's given. Don't let that happen to you. Don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Because he won't consistently prosper you beyond your ability to manage. So if it keeps going through your fingers, get you some management skill. Learn the principles of God and begin to apply them in your life. Begin to walk them out. And you'll enjoy the harvest that you've reaped. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you've been blessed by this series. We're into December next go around. So we'll see what God says then. Until then, thanks for joining us here in Deliverance Temple. And those of you on Facebook, we'll see you next week. Same bat channel. Amen. Bye-bye.